We're hearing the orchestral interlude from the choral symphony work, The Prison. This is The First Glimmer of Dawn. It was released in August, originally from 1930. It's the major last work of British composer Dame Ethel Smyth. We're talking about the Madison connection to it and a Grammy to behold here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. The Prison, it's a conversation between a prisoner at the end of life and his soul searching for peace. Do you know this work, The Prison? How does classical music move you? Are you a classical singer? What can you say about your work? 800-642-1234. Sarah Braley took home a Grammy Sunday for Best Classical Solo Vocal Album for Smyth, The Prison. She's a soprano singer in Madison. Sarah, welcome to the Ideas Network and congratulations.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
How does it feel? How does it feel to win a Grammy?
It feels pretty surreal, but wonderful.
Oh, tell us about your project here, how you got into this work on this particular project. What's behind it?
Sure. Yeah, it really all came together because of the conductor, James Blatchley. He's also a composer. And so when I was living in New York up until a few years ago, I was contracted to sing a piece of his. And the classical music community in New York is very small. So we had known of each other, but we had yet to meet. And I sang his piece and he enjoyed, you know, it was a great experience. I loved the piece. He loved my singing. And he said, you know, I'm doing this project, this new edition of this amazing piece, and we're going to do a recording. Would you be interested in being the soprano soloist?
I mean, this was my first entree into this composer. Why did he pick this piece, this composer?
Well, you're right. She's not very well known, which is one of the exciting things about this whole project and the Grammy, bringing her name to the wider world. He had been invited to conduct excerpts from the piece about 6 years ago, and he discovered how incredible it was and that there was only a manuscript, so a handwritten score up to that point. So James actually took on the task of creating a modern edition, so it would be more easily accessible in the future. And he fell in love with the piece through the process, and that's kind of how it all started.
Yeah, you know, Ethel Smyth, she passed away in 1944, but the words describing her are just amazing. Outspoken, risk-taker, bold, boundary-pushing, creative. How would you describe her as a composer up against this work, her final major work, The Prison?
Yeah, she sounds really formidable, doesn't she?
I want to meet her. Let's go back in time.
I wish, right? Yeah, she was truly an independent spirit, from all accounts, and her music is stunningly beautiful. I mean, it, you know, has a bit of Brahms or Mahler flavor in it, but it's also truly her own. The form of the piece is very unique, and it's very it's sort of, I guess if you were to equate it to writing, it would be kind of stream of consciousness. It's very through composed. There's not individual movements that you can excerpt and play on their own. And just the fact that it's this concert piece, but with two real characters is pretty unique, the prisoner and his soul.
We're talking with Sarah Braley, who's a soprano based in Madison, who just won the Grammy for Best Classical Solo Vocal Album. We're talking about The Prison, the background to it. What do you want to know about this particular work? Are you a classical music fan? Have you heard of Ethel Smyth, the late British composer? Join in, 800-642-1234. So let's listen to a bit more of The Prison. This is toward the end of the symphony. It's called number 15, Death Calls Him, Glorying He Obeys the Summons. Mm. It's just stunning, Sarah. Can you tell us about this point and your role in it?
Yeah, this is, I think, the penultimate movement of the piece. It's the point where the prisoner and the soul are really about to be in dialogue and sing together, which doesn't happen very many times in the piece. We sort of are in monologue for most of the beginning and middle of the piece. And it all comes together, and there's this very joyous section where the two of us sing together after this, and then it ends serenely, and you know, we get the impression that the prisoner has indeed found peace.
Mm. I feel like there's that tension, that push-pull of imprisonment, but also freedom, of release, of peace. How did you approach that in this work?
We'll be honest, it was a difficult piece to sing. Mm-hmm. And so it took a lot of work, you know, technical work. And I was glad to have an extended period of time to do that. And so it really just allowed me to live with the text. The text is by a very close friend, maybe lover of Ethel Smythe's, Henry Brewster. It's this very existential work of the same title, The Prison. So, you know, our role as singers, we have the unique advantage of having text, which instrumentalists don't have. So I think everything we get is motivated by the text.
And you have to kind of read into the text and, you know, really embrace it, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
So she was a suffragist, jailed, I understand, you know, around 1910 after a political protest. Can you tell us about just her her background there in women's rights?
Yeah, I mean, that's another reason why she's such an admirable figure. She actually took 2 years off from her musical career to devote herself to the suffrage cause in Britain and became very close with the leaders of the suffrage movement. And in fact, she composed a piece, The March of the Women, that became the official suffrage anthem. And there's this great story about the time she was in prison for 2 months, I believe. And this group of suffragettes came to the prison courtyard singing the March of Women. And she leaned out the window and conducted them with her toothbrush.
Oh my goodness.
So she was quite a character.
And you released this at a time, you know, this summer to coordinate with the ratification of the 19th Amendment.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's been such a tough year for everybody, but, you know, for performing artists, we, you know, saw a year ago, exactly, pretty much all our concerts get canceled and all these projects that we were excited about, many of which, or several of which for me included suffrage related projects. So I was so glad that I at least had this recording coming out in August to bring attention to the ratification of the 19th Amendment. And it really made for a great narrative, and I'm so glad that Smythe is getting the attention she deserves.
We're talking with Sarah Braley, a classical singer in Madison and now Grammy Award winner for Best Classical Solo Vocal Album. Have you listened to The Prison? What does it make you feel? Are you familiar with the British composer, Ethel Mary Smythe? What do you want to know about her life, her works? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Sarah Braley here on the Ideas Network. This is the orchestral interlude from the choral symphony, The Prison. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. The original work was composed in 1930 by Dame Ethel Smythe, but it's brought to life, reimagined by soprano Sarah Braley and fellow musicians on the album called Smythe the Prison. It was released in August, as we've been talking about, to coincide with the 19th Amendment centennial, granting women the right to vote. Braley, she's just won a Grammy for the album. What are your thoughts on the Grammys awarding a female composer? Have you heard music from the Prison Symphony? How does it make you feel? 800-642-1234. And soprano Sarah Braley stays with us for about 10 more minutes. You know, Sarah, if this work explores the prison of our mind and our pursuit of truth, our pursuit of peace, I'm wondering, did you find new clarity or new meaning by working on this project?
Well, I don't know if I found, well, maybe I did find clarity. I mean, as we've talked about, Smythe's story is so simultaneously inspirational, but frustrating, because she fought her whole life for acceptance into this male-dominated world. Her music was criticized for being both too feminine and too masculine. You just can't win. And yet she enjoyed some very important successes in her life. She was the first female composer that the Metropolitan Opera produced an opera by in 1903. And I would just note that it took them more than a century to do another one. It wasn't until 2016 with Kaija Saariaho's L'Amour de Loin. Excuse me. So I hope they're catching up now. But, you know, as women, I think we all see that despite how far we've come, we're still, that there's still so much work to do. So I'm so happy and honored to be a part of telling Dame Smythe's story and bringing her music to the world, because it's just as worthy as her fellow male composers.
Well, let's take a call now. And Sarah, this might be someone you recognize. This is Jan in La Crosse. Hi, Jan.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Good morning, Sarah.
Good. Is this Jan Sahagian?
Yes, it is. How are you? I am just over the moon about your award, and I'm thrilled to be able to actually talk to you. We haven't talked in a few years, and I'm just bursting with congratulations. I can't express it enough. And for the rest of you, I was Sarah's singing teacher when she was 11 years old. And she had a phenomenal voice back then. I knew, you know, at the first time I heard her, that this was an unusual talent. This was a gift. And she has the intellect and the beauty to go along with it. Mm-hmm. And she just, it was so much fun watching her all through middle school and then in high school as well. So for 7 years, develop her talent. And we are so blessed here in La Crosse to have had her here. And I'm hoping that now that the rest of Wisconsin and the United States and the world knows how talented she is, that she will continue to sing and grace us with her voice.
Oh, that's just so beautiful, Jan. I have tears. What, I may ask, Jan, what did you try to instill in her at a young age?
The passion for music. And I was always a technical teacher. So, you know, we went over dynamics and we went over diction, and Sarah took to it like a fish to water. She did it all, and she did it with precision. And I saw the passion develop in her. And that she wasn't planning on going into music originally, but with all of her experiences here, I think it changed her mind.
Oh, Jan, thank you. Sarah, does this all sound right? What can you say?
Absolutely.
You're being put on the spot.
No, Miss Sahagin, it's so nice to hear from you. And she was such a big influence on me during those years. And I remember how hard she made us work. It was inspiring, and I'm grateful for it. And you have such a good memory. I was planning on being a doctor like my dad. And it was the experiences I had in the public music program in La Crosse that made me decide to go into music.
Oh, that's so great. Jan, thank you so much for calling in. That was just so brilliant. Sarah, what do you think of the younger generation of musicians and really, you know, maybe starting early at, and really getting that ability to sing with others?
That's such a good question, and you know, it makes me a little emotional, especially right now during the pandemic, because singing together is has been, you know, forbidden for the past year. And it my colleagues and I knew this beforehand, but feel it even more palpably now, how communal singing is such a important emotional experience. And those early experiences I had in La Crosse were, you know, shaped who I was as a musician, but also as a person. And it's so important that children have those experiences. And I hope that people think about how during this past year they've turned to TV and film and books and music to get them through this incredibly difficult time. And I hope people can make that connection and support the arts on the other side of this, because a lot of groups have failed. I think all arts groups are struggling right now, and it's important to support independent arts groups and arts education in the public school system, because it's what makes us human.
We're talking with Sarah Braley, who is a Madison-based classical singer and a 2021 Grammy Award winner for Best Classical Solo Vocal Album. Sarah, what have you been doing in the pandemic? And, you know, just that thought of not being able to sing with other people, not being, you know, having to be remote, what have you poured yourself into?
Well, I'm also getting my doctorate, so that has kept me busy. I'm trying to finish my dissertation right now. But you know, as musicians, we're really good at adapting. So we have done a lot of, and I have done a lot of remote recording and remote teaching. We've all gotten very good at Zoom, and become casual or amateur audio engineers. We all have even we appreciated them before, but we have newfound respect for the talents of our
Sure do.
audio engineer friends. So yeah, but we all are dying to get back to the stage and to rehearsals and seeing our friends and colleagues. So it's coming.
Getting back to the prison for a moment, what do you think that Ethel Smyth would say in her Grammy acceptance speech?
I think she'd say about time. She was defiant, and I think she was well aware of her gifts and her skill. I just wish she could hear it in the premiere of the piece back in, I think it was 1934. She was almost completely deaf. So it's a poignant story to think that by the time her final piece was performed, she could barely hear it.
Yeah, I was going to ask you just about that. This was a huge, large-scale work, and right before the end of her career, as she was becoming deaf, did I mean, I'm wondering where, I wonder what it was like for her to write this, knowing that this might be her last.
I'm sure it was incredibly emotional, but it also goes to show how incredible she was to really hear that in her head, and to be able to, I mean, who know, I don't know exactly how deaf she was during the composition process, but you know, if she was, to be able to hear that in her head as opposed to out loud is pretty incredible to compose like that.
we're just wrapping up here, but I'm wondering, you know, this work really challenged you. How did you have to grow as a classical music singer to take it on?
Well, it's a unique piece because it requires a lot of different kinds of singing. So it requires a lot of flexibility technically and emotionally. A lot of it's sort of, you know, sits in the mid-high range and it's very serene and peaceful. So I'm grateful for everything it taught me.
Well, Jan would say, you got that, Sarah. We went over this.
Yes, we did.
Oh, Sarah, thank you for joining us. Congratulations.
Thank you for having me, Kate.
Sarah Braley is a classical singer in Madison and a new Grammy Award winner for Best Classical Solo Vocal Album.